Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and we're going through Exodus. And we're at the end of Exodus chapter 23 and verse 33. Verse 32, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. And I grew up in the public school system in America, and the servants of these images, the states, their gods, they taught me to live in a certain way. And I decided some years ago to throw off everything I learned. Many people have a difficult time throwing off what they learned before they came to the knowledge of the truth. And rather than throw it off, they justify for whatever reason. It is difficult, because then you say, well, if I throw that off, because their riches and their benefits come, and you say, well, if I throw that off, how will I eat? You know, how will I drink? How will I pay my bills? Because this is how I'm provided for by the image. And this is, and then they say, well, this is God's way of providing for me. Yeah, I let everyone wrestle with that on their own. My determination has been to throw it all off and live by faith and to rely solely on Him. And yes, it's difficult. It's difficult to go against the world, so to speak. But that's what you do. You go against the world. You're in it, but you're not of it. If you're going with it, then you are of it. If you're going against it, then you're not of it. And, persecution can come with that. You can always try to resist persecution. You can always try to lay low and not to bring too much attention to yourself. And I don't know whether I'd like to get more attention. I'd like more people to learn the Bible and the truth of His Word as He reveals it to me. And many people would say, well, that you're just out of your mind. And they have all of their reasons for saying that the Old Testament specifically does not apply to them. But their new interpretation of a truncated gospel is what's important. And that's the way I see it. So let's jump to our next chapter here. Chapter 24 of Exodus. And see where it takes us. And he said to Moses, unto Moses, come up unto Yahuwah, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near Yahuwah, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of Yahuwah, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice. So the people heard all these things that I just read to you, that we've been reading over the last few days, and for a couple hours each day. And I do expound quite a bit on some things, so I hope that's not a problem. I hope that you're getting as much out of this as I am, and that you're being edified and given a course by His Holy Spirit for your life. At least someplace you can begin today. You know, begin each day with obedience. Do what He says each day. And you'll see the changes. They may take years, but they will come. Moses came up and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Yahuwah has said we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of Yahuwah and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto Yahuwah. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. You know, that's my prayer, by His Holy Spirit. I want to do, I want to be obedient. Oh, help me, Heavenly Father. Help us all, you know, because we do need help. You know, just I was just thinking yesterday that, about this very thing, thinking about if I could, if there was a switch I could flip in my brain, and that I knew that once I flipped that switch that I would always be obedient and that I would never be disobedient. Would I do it? Yes, I would. It doesn't work that way, though, does it? You know, I'd like to flip the switch and always be obedient. Well, it doesn't come with this mortal flesh. It doesn't come with mortality. It comes with immortality. Then we get it. That is the day that we long for, the day that I long for, and I will long for it until it comes. Not that I want it to hurry, because the other side of that is that I want to serve Him. There are a lot of people down here. The scripture says that a wise man wins souls. Well, I don't know if I'm causing people to run away by the teaching that I do here, or whether I'm causing them to come closer. But I know that if anyone continues to listen, that they have a heart for truth, and that they really care about what His Word says. I'm not saying I'm right, or that I'm the all-in-all and correct in everything, but I'm saying that if you're listening to me, that you really have a heart to search for His Word and what it means and what it says, because that's the heart that I have. And, you know, if you know me, if you've been listening to me at all very long, you know that. At the same time, I'm very realistic, and I hope that comes across too, about what we can do and what we're able to do and what we desire to do and how fast we can move in those things, because we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I've relayed what that means to you, and hope that you understand that with wisdom. So He said to Moses, come up. And yes, we read that. So now we're at, He took, in verse 7, verse chapter 24, He took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord, all that Yahuwah has said, we will do and be obedient. Yes, I read some of these things and I just have to break into a, you know, a prayerful attitude and say, please, I want to be obedient. It seems so difficult at times, but it does get easier. And at the same time, it seems like some of the temptations become more difficult, or perhaps I'm just seeing temptation for what it really is as I become, you know, older and wrestle with the things of this mortality. Verse 8, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which Yahuwah hath made with you concerning all these words, the blood of the covenant. And what is the blood of the covenant? Of course, it is the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And they're doing a type of us being sprinkled, covered with His blood. Verse 9, then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under His feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in His clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel He laid not His hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And, you know, just trying to imagine this scene, where the blood was sprinkled on them, and somehow their eyes were open and they saw these wonders. They a window into the third heaven, perhaps. But this was a sight. This was not an earthly sight. They were seeing something that was in another realm, that was in a parallel, perhaps, a parallel reality. Sapphire stone, as it were, a body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the nobles, he laid not His hand. They also saw God, and did eat and drink. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said to the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you, and if any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. So he's speaking, of course, the matters of judgment while they're gone. Apparently, Moses knows he's going to be gone for a while because he gives them this instruction to where they would turn to Moses, that Aaron and Hur were in his place with any matters. So Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of Yahuwah abode upon Mount Sinai, and a cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of Yahuwah was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights. Can't even imagine what he was doing for 40 days and 40 nights. But we're talking about, you know, I'm liking it to parallel reality here. You know, a door or a window into the third heaven, into a heavenly realm that goes beyond, that we can only enter into by faith here. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. You know, our Heavenly Father does not have a government of tyranny. He wants to take nothing by force, but he only wants it willingly. And that is the free will that he gives us. And that's why men choose these abominable things, because when they don't choose his will, the only thing left are things that are contrary to his will, and all of the abominations of the earth, and the depravity of man is because man does not want to willingly give his life to the Creator, who, one, gave him life, and then secondly, gave his life for them when he became a man. Of course, they were looking forward to the redemption and what the Messiah did, and we're looking back, but at the same time still looking forward to our redemption at the last trump, when our body, our mortal flesh, is planted in the ground and our mortal life is over. So he says, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering, if he gives it willingly with his heart. And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and goats, the rams' skins, dyed red, and badgers' skins, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stone, and stones to be set in the ephod, in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so you shall make it. Where were the children of Israel to get all of this precious wood, these precious stones and silver and gold? Where? Where do we get the things that we can offer unto our Heavenly Father? He gives them to us. He gave these things to the children of Israel. He told them. He instructed them to go ask the Egyptians. So, in effect, by the hands of the Egyptians, he gave them all of these riches. The oils, the wood, the skins dyed red, the fine linen, the gold, and the silver. Remember, they were slaves in the land of Egypt. They had very little in the way of riches. They lived in, well, we could call it the slums of Goshen, basically, because that's probably all that was left after several hundred years of being looted by the Egyptians in hard bondage and servitude. And certainly some did better than others, some fared better than others, but you know, we can imagine that that's the way it was. But they were told to go ask of the Egyptians and to spoil them, and they did. So now he says, now they want them to, I've given all of this to them by the hands of the Egyptian, each every one and his family, and were to go and offer, ask to the Egyptians. So they had all this loot, they had all this booty that they spoiled the Egyptians, every one of them, that they got at the instruction of the Heavenly Father. And now the Heavenly Father wants them to bring it willingly. He wants it to be willing. He does not want this tabernacle, this sanctuary, to be built out of anything that is given by force or coercion, but he wants it to be freely given. And that's what he wants from us. He wants us to freely give. Nothing is to be taken by force, not even charity. That's not his way. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show thee, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall you make. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half. It shall be the length thereof a cubit and a half, the breadth thereof a cubit and a half, and the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without. Thou shalt overlay it, and thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about, and thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. So we're talking about the covenant of the ark. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half. Shall the length thereof, 1 cubit and a half, the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubim of gold, of beaten work. Thou shalt make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on 1 end, and the other cherub on the other end. Of the mercy seat you shall make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof, and the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat, and their wings with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubim be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood, 2 cubits shall the length thereof, and the cubit, and the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof, and you shall overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about, and thou shalt make it to it unto it a border of a handbreadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown and the border thereof round about, and thou shalt make it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners, that which are the 4 feet thereof over against the border shall the rings be 4 places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And you shall make the dishes thereof, the spoons thereof, the covers thereof, and the bowls thereof, to cover withal of pure gold. And thou shalt make them, and thou shalt set them upon the table, showbread before me always. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his cups, knops, his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the candlestick out of one side, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side, 3 bowls made like unto almonds with a knop and a flower in 1 branch, 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flower, and so the six branches shall come out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be four bowls, made like unto almonds, with their knops and with their flowers. And there shall be a knop under two branches of the same, a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that shall proceed out of the candlestick. The knops of the branches shall be of all the same, and of one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, so you have three on each side, six, plus the one in the center, the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof, and the censers thereof, shall be pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it, with all these vessels, and look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. So he was shown a pattern, he was given plans or directions, and I'm sure that they did not need to be drawn out. Perhaps he could draw them out later for the artisans that would make these things, but we have a literal description here of what was given anyway. And that's the end of chapter 24, the end of chapter 25. So we go to chapter 26 of Exodus. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work, that thou shalt make them. The length of one curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain shall be 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together, one to the other, and the 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. And you shall make the loops of blue upon the edge of one curtain from the selvage in the coupling, and likewise I shall make the uttermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops you shall make in the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make in the edge of the curtain that has the coupling of the second of the loops that make and hold one of another. And you shall make 50 tacks of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tacks, and it shall be one tabernacle. So basically, in making a tent for the Ark of the Covenant, and this is the tabernacle. And you shall make a curtain of goat's hair to be covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains you shall make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits. The breadth of one curtain shall be 4 cubits. 11 curtains shall be of one measure. And you shall couple the 5 curtains by themselves, the 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double the 6 curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. And we'll continue with the description of the tabernacle when we get back next time. There's nothing more important than that you cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father and obtain eternal life. We'll see you next time.